no idea about, and that really it should be illegal to put these things in our foods. And let's make it easy for them to make these changes to their own diet so that they can also reap the same benefits that we're getting now, having changed our diets.
Wow. And so was Kim's story kind of the same as yours? Was she was raised the same way?
Same way, and her transition happened just a couple years after mine.
Oh. Now, she's also into holistic health, correct?
That's right. She's got a master's degree in holistic nutrition.
So both of you combined with everything you've learned, everything she's learned, combined, it was just an amazing partnership you have.
Right. Well, I was actually an agent at Ford Models in New York for about 5 years, and I just wasn't fulfilled. I was making a ton of money. I owned a house. My boyfriend at the time was making a ton of money, but I just didn't feel like my life was what I wanted it to be. And at the time, I had been listening to a lot of Tony Robbins CDs and reading Dr. Wayne Dyer books. And Kim was living in Miami with her husband. And, you know, she just kept calling me every day and saying, what are you doing? Why do you have that job? That's not for you. And one day I went to this this conference. It was an animal rights conference. And within 5 minutes of sitting in that conference, I thought, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be changing the world and helping animals and helping people. Why am I, you know, have this job in the golden handcuffs? So I went back to work on Monday and I gave them my notice and I left my career as an agent at Ford Models and became a full-time animal rights activist.
Wow.
I didn't know exactly how that would translate into, you know, a real job and what that would mean, and I really actually couldn't find a job doing that. So eventually Kim and I decided that we would have to start our own business of some kind, and we didn't know what that would look like, but we had to do it. And one day it just occurred to us, let's write a book and let's change the world and let's help people.
So that really aligns with the law of attraction. I mean, you were really putting it out there.
We absolutely were. We really started practicing all the stuff that's being talked about in The Secret, just from the stuff that we had read from, you know, Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins and also Louise Hay. And we really just said, let's leap and the net will appear. And we believed in it from day one because we knew what we were doing was going to be good for animals, good for people, good for the planet. Mm-hmm. And we've just been nothing but lucky ever since.
Well, for those of you that are just tuning in now, I am talking to Rory Friedman, who is author of the best-selling book, Skinny Bitch. And you were mentioning earlier that some people might have a slight issue with the title, but the title is what grabbed me. So I would never have taken that back in a million years.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely are towing the line here. We really wanted to make sure that people were going to pay attention to what we had to say. And, you know, unfortunately, in this day and age, people are more interested in how they look than how they feel and what they're putting in their body and whether or not it's healthy for them. So we thought, all right, whoever we're going to get the horse to the water, we'll do what it takes. But once you get inside the book, there's more than 100 sources, more than 200 endnotes, and it's really well-researched. And we didn't reinvent the wheel. We just took a lot of information from a lot of different places and tried to package it in one easy-to-read product.
Well, the endnotes really will stop anybody from trying to argue the point because you've done your homework.
We sure did, and I have to hand that to Kim. Kim, my writing partner, she did the 99% of the research, and I did the writing, and she did an amazing job, and there were so many things going into the book when we started to write it that we knew and that we were passionate about, and that was what led us to write the book. But just throughout the process, we even learned a lot more, and we were just astounded. We were constantly astounded about what goes on in the food industry and how much we don't know.
Now, what do you think? I was really thinking about this. I wrote some questions down because I didn't want to forget anything that entered my mind when I read the book. But do you think there's anything we can do collectively to make a change? I mean, now that this dialogue is out there, not that it hasn't been before, but, you know, you're putting it in people's face to where they can't ignore it. So now that it's here, what could we do collectively to ask our government or ask, you know, the lawmakers to really take another look at what we're eating?
Well, it's funny. When I first started discovering all these truths, I said the same thing. Well, tell me what to do, and I want to make a difference. How can I make things different? The very first thing that you can do, and that speaks the loudest, is consumerism. Do not spend your consumer dollars on products that have garbage in them. Mm-hmm. And let these companies know. Call their 1-800 numbers or send them an email because they're listing their web address on the packaging and say, I'm not buying your product because it has X, Y, and Z in it, whether it's a dairy ingredient or an animal ingredient or an artificial color or artificial flavor or high fructose corn syrup or artificial sweeteners, let them know. Because when we hit companies in their purses, they want to make changes to appease their customers, and we'll start to see better products out there.
Your dollar is your vote, right?
Exactly. Every dollar you spend is a vote for a company or against a company. Another thing that's really easy to do that seems like it would be too hard and that it would be for someone else to do and not for me, but really it's so easy. You can contact your legislators, whether it's your senators, your governor, even your mayor at a local level, or, you know, you can contact the president. You can email the president and the vice president. Send emails, call the offices of these people who are in the position to make laws, and let them know what you want. Let them hear from you and collect petitions, signatures, do whatever it takes on a grassroots level to influence change. And don't feel intimidated or feel like it's not something that you could do and that somebody else has to do it.
Well, we've been looking to our government to protect us, you know, in so many ways, whether it be as far as our safety, our physical safety, when it comes to the foods we eat. I mean, we've been trusting them and we've been taking it for granted. It's almost as if we've been walking around unconscious and just thinking, oh, they're watching our back. Oh, we've got it all taken care of. There's nothing for us to worry about.
It's true. And it's really just so irresponsible and so lazy of us. And I think that's probably why we've reached this point where we've got obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer at higher rates than ever before, because we're not taking our health into our own hands and we're just really letting other people tell us what it is we should be doing. And if we want to be healthy, if we want to take care of ourselves, we need to be responsible. We need to read the ingredients of everything we eat. We need to understand the way food works and the way it's manufactured and produced and processed. And we need to get that the government is a business, just like any other business. And while there are many people working there that do have good intentions, there are also a lot of people working for the USDA that have direct ties to the industries that they're supposed to be protecting us from. Mm. So it's not just a blanket thing where you can say, oh, well, this is stamped USDA approved. I don't have to worry about it, and I can turn my brain off.
Right, right. And the point I was going to make with that as well, I'm glad you brought that up, is because if we're supposed to be so safe, and I used to work with a naturopathic doctor for probably 7 years. She was a client of mine. And I swear, I'm not joking, every other person that walked in the store was either on Prozac, Paxil, I mean, so many drugs. And they were wanting to find substitutes for this. And it makes me wonder if the things that are in our food, why is it so many people are needing these medications?
Agreed. And, you know, it's a lot of times we're hearing now people also the same thing with the cholesterol medication. Well, you know, cholesterol, high cholesterol runs in my family. And yeah, that's true, and it does run, and even mental illness is something that runs in families and can be passed down genetically. However, there's no replacement for a healthy diet, and to take a pill to lower your cholesterol and then go out and have an omelet is just so crazy. And when you're putting these pills in your body, there are other things that are being affected that we just can't know about. And if you can take the choice, whether it's taking a pill or just eating more fruits and vegetables and getting rid of some of the junk in your diet, wouldn't you want it to be easier, more natural, safer choice? To me, it's a no-brainer, but one of the things that we need to get across to the masses is that this is what we need to be doing. We have to stop looking at things for the way they've been packaged and presented to us and start looking at them for what they really are. Mm-hmm. So diet soda is one of the things that come to mind. People think, well, there's no calories or it's low in calories, so it's fine. I can have diet soda. What they don't understand and they never take the time to learn or realize is that it's an artificial sweetener that you're putting into your body. And when you're putting anything synthetic or artificial or chemical or man-made into your body doesn't know how to naturally break it down or how to naturally absorb it or rid itself of it. So it doesn't really know what to do with it.
Well, it's been so the chemistry of it is so different from any food that has ever been in existence. It's like a foreign object.
Right. So what we're really hoping to do is just encourage people to take a look at exactly what it is that you've been eating all these years and revisit everything that you consider to be healthy. and start doing your research, whether it's reading Skinny Bitch or reading another book in the natural health field or going online and doing research about products. But just be really careful what your sources are, because if you're going online and looking up aspartame and you're getting information that says aspartame is totally safe and healthy, make sure that the source is not a group that's profiting by selling aspartame.
Exactly, because they do have lobbyists. They do have people that go out there writing material to offset anything that Skinny Bitch or any other book is going to mention about it's not being safe.
Right, and I have to say, one of the things that I learned recently, just I live in Los Angeles now, so I meet a lot of people in the entertainment industry and who work, you know, in TV and film and radio, mm-hmm. and a friend of mine worked for a top news station, and she said that when pharmaceutical companies run, or when news coverage done on a pharmaceutical company or on a specific drug, and they're presenting it like it's news. So we're watching at home thinking that this is news about a specific drug and that these are the things that it can do. In actuality, the pharmaceutical company has given the newscaster a script to read. So what we're getting and thinking is news is actually, it's almost like paid advertising for this drug.
Exactly. All you need is a press release, and they take the press release and they can make it into news.
And it's, you know, we've just released this collective level of unconsciousness, and we just believe everything that we're handed down, and we really need to start waking up and thinking for ourselves. And the best things that we can be putting in our bodies that are the most natural and easy to digest and that can give us the most nutrients are fresh fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, and beans.
What a concept, huh?
We want to focus.
What a concept that is. Wow. It's been around forever.
And I know a lot of people may think that these foods are boring or that it sounds like rabbit food, and I would have absolutely said the same thing, you know, 14 years ago before I started changing the way that I ate. But I promise you, once you start making little changes to your diet, your brain changes, your taste buds change, and foods that did not appeal to you before are now foods that you won't want to live without. And the junk that you've been eating will start to taste terrible, and it will also, you'll start to realize how badly it makes you feel.
I'm there, because I'm going to give my story. I'm going to give my testimonial here in front of you so you can know how much I appreciate it. But I read the book August and through the beginning of September, late August, September, and I've already lost 5 pounds. Now, you're talking about somebody that's already in their 40s, and losing weight is much harder as you age. You know, your metabolism changes. And I, as soon as I read it, I started changing everything that I could. I mean, I have a whole house full of products that, you know, you just don't want to throw everything in the trash. So I thought, you know, what I'm going to do so that I don't, you know, drive myself crazy, because I've done this before. I've gone into the grocery store reading labels going, oh my God, there's nothing I can eat, because I've listened to so many people. So I just decided I would start replacing everything. Every time I went to the store, I would replace something with a more positive choice. And that's what I did. And I'm not even completely where I'd like to be, and I've already lost 5 pounds.
Well, that's a great way to do it, and it's something we highly recommend. A lot of people want to know, so what do we do now? You know, now that we read this book and we're really compelled, some people are ready to dive in and do everything they read because they're just so shocked and horrified. Other people really need to take their time to make sure it's a transition that's going to work and that's going to stick. And we just tell people, take as long as you need to make changes. So maybe for the first, you know, month, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes for 30 days to get yourself away from soda, whether it's diet or regular. Take 30 days, wean yourself off, start replacing it with water, and get that under your belt so that in 1 month's time you feel really sure that you can make other changes to your diet without compromising the success that you've just established getting rid of soda.
Well, there's one thing that I remember the story because it really hit me. I was watching the news one night, and it was back when the United States went into Afghanistan, just at the very beginning, and I'll never forget this. We had bombed so many areas that the people were displaced, they didn't have anywhere to go, and so the United States was dropping food to these people so they wouldn't starve. And the food they were dropping was Pop-Tarts.
Oh, God.
All this packaged stuff. I'll never forget this. There had to be a woman that was like 70-some years old who was dressed in the garb. You know, she had the robes on, and she was all covered up, and she looked at this Pop-Tart in her hand. It was in the aluminum foil packaging, and she didn't know what it was. She looked at it like it was from another planet, and she fed it to her donkey, and the donkey wouldn't even eat it.
Oh, God.
And I could not forget that story because I was looking at my friend going, why in God's name would we send Pop-Tarts to these people? She told the cameras, and the translator said they wanted wheat, they wanted real food, and we're sending them this stuff. And I thought, you know, here's a woman that probably never had a day of education in her life, and she knew. She knew what was nutritious, and she knew what was good for her, and we didn't even know what to give them.
Well, it's just so true, and it just so perfectly illustrates how we've gotten so far removed from the way that we're supposed to be eating, and people like you and I are nuts for talking about Pop-Tarts in this way, where other people, you know, are eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast, and they think, well, it's healthy, it's got vitamin D in it, and we're just, we've all gone mad, basically, we've all gone mad, and you and I are the health nuts, but people who are eating junk food all day, every day, are thinking that what they're eating is reasonable and that we're just crazy.
Well, other countries know this. I mean, where have we been? You know, the one thing that I thought has been really helpful for me is getting away from the high fructose corn syrup. What, in your studies, what do you feel? I think it makes me hungry if I have too much. I'm trying to stay away from that too. What are your thoughts or your experience on high fructose corn syrup?
Basically, when we're talking about high fructose corn syrup or refined sugar, or even artificial sweeteners like aspartame or Splenda or NutraSweet, all those things are having an effect on our metabolism and the way our bodies process and break down foods.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're putting those things in our bodies, we're not really getting satisfied. We're not feeling fulfilled. And it definitely, it's been scientifically proven to show that it doesn't prevent hunger and that in some cases it actually stimulates appetite. So what we need to do is just, again, read the ingredients of everything that we're buying and look for better choices when it comes to sweeteners. One of the things that we talk about in the book in depth is better sweeteners, and we also give a list of acceptable junk foods that have alternative sweeteners to refined sugar and to artificial sweeteners. Because when you're sending those refined sugars into your body, you're causing a crash in your blood sugar levels, which is making you feel hungry or crazy or moody or depressed. But if you're eating something that's natural and like, you know, whole grains, which people are so confused about carbs now because of the Atkins diet or other high-protein, low-carb diets, but complex carbs are great for you. They release slowly in your body and into your bloodstream, and they make you feel full and satisfied, and they also give you energy. So they're important, and they don't make you fat, but we've all gotten so confused, and we think, oh, well, fruit, that's a carb. I don't want it. And fruit's a great food. You need to be eating fruit every single day. It's wonderful for you.
Well, and it is confusing because the diet industry is a huge industry. And I wanted to ask you, when you hear the word diet, what comes to your mind? What's your reaction to the word diet?
What do I think of when I hear the word diet? When I think of the word diet, I feel sad. I think of women who are unfortunate enough to buy into the fact that they're supposed to look a certain way, and I think that they do these crazy things with what they're eating into their bodies to make themselves conform to, you know, some society BS standard of how they look.
Right.
And what we're trying to do here, believe it or not, with a book titled Skinny Bitch, is to get women to pay attention with what they're eating and to really just change their lifestyle. There's no quick fix. I mean, we certainly don't want people walking around carrying extra weight because there are a lot of you know, health problems associated with it. At the same time, we don't want to walk around scrawny and anorexic because there's a lot of health problems associated with that. We don't want anybody hung up on how much they weigh or what size they wear. We want people to think about every meal and every day, what am I putting in my mouth? What am I eating? How does it make me feel? Where did it come from? What is it exactly?
Exactly, because I noticed when I looked at your book, there is not, the word diet is not on the cover. It's not, I mean, it's not like you want anyone to think this is a diet book, if I'm
we don't want people to go on a skinny bitch diet for 30 days to lose weight and then go back to the way they're eating. We want people to change their lives. We want people to reduce their risk for cancer and heart disease and obesity and asthma and allergies. And this is a lifestyle that you can lead where you can enjoy food. There's nothing like, oh, you can't have cookies anymore or cancer off the menu. You can eat anything you want. You can eat everything you want. You just learn how to make better choices.
Right. Now, you know, a question I wanted to ask you, we were talking about going in the grocery store earlier and about the confusion. But, you know, I've also heard that some companies are using the word organic, and it isn't organic, or it doesn't use the same definition of organic as the USDA organic. Do you have any thoughts on how we can navigate that too? Because some people will say natural, organic, and it may not be.
Right. Well, one of the things we have to remember is that companies will get away with whatever they can get away with. So they may be claiming on the packaging that their product is all natural or something along those lines. So you'll buy it without reading the ingredients, which is a mistake, because sometimes when you read the ingredients of a package that's being touted as all natural, you'll see that it's not all natural once you read the ingredients. There's stuff in there you would never consider natural. So that's one way to combat the confusion. When it comes to organics, unfortunately, the USDA certified organic seal doesn't mean as much as you and I would like it to mean. Mm-hmm. I think that for the entire USDA organics program, there are maybe a staff, I'm going to say, I believe it's 9 people. If I'm wrong about 9, it's maybe 15. But wow. I do think it's 9 people for the entire country for the USDA certification organic program, which is clearly not enough people to run a program that large.
Doesn't sound like it to me.
Lot of watchdog groups accusing the USDA of allowing sham certifications. So there's no way to know for certain what you're buying, if it is or isn't organic. I like to look for seals, organic stamp of approvals from outside sources, like, mm-hmm. you know, the California Organic Board or one of those kinds of seals. However, at the end of the day, can you know for certain unless you're buying from a farmer's market where you know the farmer himself? Maybe not. At the same time, should you buy organic? Absolutely, absolutely.
I was thrilled when your book didn't talk about counting anything, because I hate counting. I hate counting calories, fat grams, carbohydrates. I don't want to count anything. Call me lazy, but
count.
I just don't like
There's no reason to count, and it's another one of the things that the diet industry has made people insane. And even people who will really consider themselves to be healthy eaters, you'll catch them counting things. I'm not even sure if we use the word calories once in the book. Maybe we use it once or twice, but that's it, and it's never to talk about counting. The bottom line is, every day, again, you want to eat whole grains, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, raw nuts, raw seeds, and beans, lentils, and peas. Those are the foods you want to be eating every day. You don't need to be hung up on, well, how many servings of this, how many servings of that. Every day, eat those foods and eat a well balance of those foods and eat a variety of those foods every day. You'll be fine. Your weight will be better than ever. You'll feel healthier than ever, and everything's going to be great.
Exactly. Yeah, I was really so thankful that there was no counting involved, because I'm really so bad at that. When I really looked at the book, I thought there's no real talk of diet. I mean, this is just common sense. And I love when you say duh, because it's like, what have we been thinking all this time?
Right. And, you know, we try and really challenge people, like, what are you thinking? Come on, smarten up, use your head.
And that's the way I need to hear it.
Tough.
Honestly, I do need to hear it that way, because otherwise I just start falling asleep. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, here we go again. Here's another discussion on nutrition. And I do know a lot already, but it takes somebody to make you think, wake up and pay attention, because I don't think we all do.
Well, we've read every book on the topic. Like I said, when we started changing the way that we were eating, we really wanted to learn everything about it. And we read, you know, a million articles from magazines, newspapers, stuff online, medical journals, books. And every single one of them put us to sleep. And it was really hard to learn the information when we were so bored by it.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, you know what, let's just write this book in our own voices, in a really conversational tone. And, you know, we're funny girls. We tease each other relentlessly. We swear like sailors and truck drivers. And we have a good time in life. And, you know, we'll make fun of ourselves and we'll make fun of each other. And we're going to make fun of you, the reader.
Yeah, but that's what I love. I love that you're real people. You're not putting on airs. You're not playing a game. You're not being something you're not. You're being honest. And I think that's why the book really translates well for me personally, is because you're so honest in how you're saying it. You're not making any apologies for who you are, and you're not going to apologize for the way you're delivering, you know, this information. So I think that's what I liked so much about it.
Well, thank you. I mean, we may not win any popularity contest, but we're certainly not going to pull any punches, and we really are committed to educating people about what's going on with food in this country. And, you know, we just did the best job that we could in being honest and getting the information out there, and hoping that people will not only believe it, but have fun while they're reading it.
Exactly. Well, for anyone that's just tuning in right now, I am talking to Rory Friedman, who's the author of the best-selling book. And that reminds me, I mean, if anyone is discounting it at all, it wouldn't be a best-selling book, would it, Rory? I mean, obviously people are paying attention.
We're very lucky. When the book first came out, the very first month, it landed on the LA Times bestseller list, and it was always a really solid seller. just based on word of mouth. We had no mainstream publicity, and our publisher could not have been happier. And, you know, we had sold, I don't know how many copies, probably a few 100,000. And then Victoria Beckham, the Posh Spice herself, was photographed this May holding a copy of the book. And that got us all sorts of wonderful mainstream publicity, which we had never had before. So it just really opened doors for us to reach a bigger audience, and we couldn't be more grateful.
Thank you, Victoria. I mean, she probably had no idea what she was doing just holding a book, but I mean, I think that's how it really, I think that's how I learned about it.
Yeah, I think that people probably tease her and call her a skinny bitch, so she probably had a laugh when she saw the book and picked it up. And now we've got translated into 7 different languages.
Oh,
we've got more than a half a million copies in print, and we've been number one on the New York Times bestseller list, I think, for the past 10 weeks, maybe.
That is incredible. Couldn't happen to better people.
Oh, thank you, thank you. We owe it all to the people who went before us and who did all this incredible research that we were able to pull together and include in our book. So
Yes. There's
been a lot of people who have been paving the way and blazing the trail long before we got on the scene.
Well, and you're speaking to the people that may normally have not been clued in on this. I mean, like I said, your honesty and the language and the way you help people to understand this. I mean, you're really, it's an in-your-face book to a degree. I mean, even the part about the animal cruelty, it was really hard to read. But you asked in the book that we, muddle through this and really read it, and I did. Because normally that's something I'd like to go, oh, I don't want to think about that.
Well, and that's something I would love to just say really briefly for anybody listening who's thinking, oh, well, if this is a vegetarian diet book, I don't want to read that. That's something I would never do. And I really urge you to just read the book anyway. It's $14, or go get it at the library, or borrow a copy from a friend. Read the book. Take a few hours out of your life and read it. If it's something you're not interested in when the time is up, that's fine. But just really get the information to your brain and know what's going out. Don't discount it, because I guarantee you, I, in a million years, never thought I would have been a vegetarian. And I have said it over and over again, that I would never in a million years become a vegetarian. And it's something I never imagined for myself, but now that I've done it, I can honestly say it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. I have never felt better. I've never looked better. I've never had more energy. I've never been happier. I've never cared more about other people and the environment and animals. It's really changed my life, and it's made my life so amazing, and it's been nothing but a gift.
It is. It really is. And I, like I said, I'm Greek. We're known for restaurants all over the place. I mean, that's what we do. We're into food. I mean, we're the natural cooks of the world. And if I feel this way, and I honestly have not been eating meat. I mean, very rarely, if at all. Like I said, I had a whole freezer full, and I just don't even like the thought of even making it or cooking it or doing anything with it. So, I mean, but this is something I know that when I eat something that's not correct or that is not good for me now, I feel the difference.
Right, and that's something that people will really, if you're going to take the time to notice that, you will see that. And if you give yourself 30 days, if there's something that you're not sure about, you really think you like it, but we're telling you it's not good for you, just try it for 30 days. So get rid of it out of your diet. Spend 30 days not eating any dairy. See what happens. Then 30 days are up, reintroduce dairy into your diet. I guarantee you will realize, oh my gosh, this could not make me feel worse. It's shocking.
It is. And you don't know how good you'll feel unless you step away from it.
Right. Well, what happens is when we put something in our body that our body really doesn't know how to break down or how to handle, it doesn't break it down, and it just says, oh, I'll get to that. I'm going to store it for now as fat, and I'll get to it later. So when you empty your body out and you clean your body out of that food and then you put it in 30 days later, it's almost like this is what you're really feeling like for the first time, but you just have never known all along because your body hasn't been able to really manage it. So once you do that, you'll be shocked, I promise you.
Yeah, I am.
Regardless, whether meat and dairy or something you want to talk about or read about or consider, read the book, because there is a lot of other information in there that you can get. And even if you choose not to pay attention or heed the advice about the meat and dairy, there's a lot of other stuff that you can learn.
You know, when I told some of my colleagues and clients and listeners that you were going to be on the show, one question came up that I hope you can address for me. Someone that has a tendency to be anemic was saying that this may not be appropriate for them because of their tendency to have, low iron. And so I want you to respond to that, because I'm not as versed in this, obviously, as you are. Even though I read the book, I think you're going to be able to respond better than I can. So what would you say to somebody that has issues with anemia?
You know, I feel like anemia, just like when people talk about protein, how are you going to get your protein? That's one of the knee-jerk responses people have when we talk about vegan diets, is that you're going to be anemic. And really, that's not the case. Yes, there's iron in meat products. However, there's also iron that exists in other foods, and it's more readily absorbed into your body. So, for example, my friend and I, are both vegans. We went to donate blood not too long ago, and when we donated blood, the first thing they do is check your iron level before they actually take the pint of blood to make sure that you have enough iron. And we both scored off the charts in our iron levels because we eat a well-balanced diet with fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and whole grains and legumes. And we get plenty of iron that way, and anemia is not an issue. And it's really not an issue for vegetarians who follow a well-balanced, well-planned diet.
So as long as they're eating fresh nuts and legumes, and it should completely give them the iron that they need.
Right, as long as you're getting a good balance of fruits and veggies and whole grains and nuts and seeds and beans, you will get all the iron and all the other nutrients you need. The one thing that we do as vegetarians need to be careful about is B12. But there are plenty of supplements out there that include B12, and there's also foods that we can now buy that are fortified with B12, like our rice milk or our soy milk or nutritional yeast. So being a vegetarian or a vegan is easier than ever before, and it's absolutely safe. And the National Academy of Sciences, the American Dietetic Association, the American Medical Association, and even the American Academy of Pediatrics all agree that veganism is safe for every life cycle, every age, every stage, whether it's infancy, motherhood, lactation, teenage years, childhood years. It's a safe diet to be on.
Exactly. Let me ask you, hindsight is 20/20, and when you finish this book, especially now that you've had, plenty of time since the book has been published, have you ever looked back thinking, gosh, I wish I talked more about this, or I wish we discussed this a little bit more? Was there anything that you felt like you really needed to address a little bit more?
Oh, that's such a good question. It's not nutritionally related, but there are times where I do think, would it have been better to not swear so much? For me to edit out my terrible four-letter words a little bit more, because it's easy for a lot of people to read the book, and instead of getting the message of the book, they'll get hung up on the foul language, and they'll say, oh, well, these girls are trash. I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. They don't even speak properly. So that's definitely something I've questioned, and I actually have been approaching our publisher about letting us do a G-rated version of the book, so that we can make sure that we reach as many people as possible. So we're still waiting to hear if they're going to grant us our wish, but we're not going to stop asking until the answer is yes.
Well, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me whatsoever. Maybe I'm just tough.
It didn't bother me at all, but I'm from New Jersey, and I've got a potty mouth, but I do know that some people out there just can't abide by that kind of language, and I do regret that they may lose the message, which to us is really important and really valuable.
Well, I think it just made the book so much more honest that you were being, true to who you are. I guess I'm saying that again. I know I said it earlier, but I guess that's the way I look at it.
Oh, well, thank you.
And it's not as if the entire book, there's four-letter words throughout the entire book. I mean, you do take a break. It's not that bad.
There are words throughout the whole book.
Well, maybe I just ignored them after a while. I don't know, but I didn't think it was
good for you. That's about you, that it doesn't get you hung up on it, because the message is really valuable, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Even if, that kind of language is something that you would never have in your own life, there's still a lot of important information in there.
Exactly. Now, you were mentioning that you live in California, and I was just in Burbank. I'm in the music and the entertainment industry as well. I work in management, and I had some business to do, and I was in Burbank, and I went to the grocery store, and I could not get over how different it was from the grocery stores where I live. I mean, everyone in California seems to be much further along than in the South or even in the East. But I just thought, God, if I were living this lifestyle, it'd be so much easier here, because the grocery stores are so prepared for it. And there aren't as many stores here that offer the variety that they do in California. And I know you've traveled, especially to promote this book. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely, and it is a struggle when you go, especially to smaller towns or places outside of major cities. You definitely don't have the same options. However, I've found, even when I lived in New Jersey, that when you ask the manager of a grocery store to carry certain foods, they've been really receptive. And I know people think that this is a really far-fetched thing to do, but it's something that we highly recommend and that we've seen success with on our own and in our own lives. And people think, well, you wrote this book, and of course they're going to listen to you. No, no, no. This was when I was, you know, an agent at Ford Models, and I owned a house in New Jersey, and they didn't know me from a hole in the wall. And I would just say, hey, you know what? I heard that there are these veggie burgers that are really good and that there's no animal products in them. Would you mind carrying them? And they'd say, well, tell us who makes them, and we'll order them for you. Wow. And then they would order them, and I, not only would I buy them, but other people who would happen to be in the grocery store would see them carried, and they would try them. And before you know it, now this is a brand that's being carried in the store regularly, whether I'm asking for it or not. Exactly. So people can't underestimate the power of one. And open your fat mouth and ask for what you want, and you'll be surprised how often you can get it.
Exactly. Well, I noticed that the store that I frequent, I know their organic and natural sections are getting just a little bigger and a little bigger. I mean, they're starting to grow a little.
Right.
But
and we have the power to change the world. Every single one of us literally has the power to change the world. If we go into our grocery stores and we ask for these things, if we tell our friends and family to do the same thing, if we write and email our friends and family and we give them, here's the phone number for your grocery store, ask them to start carrying, you know, more meat analogs or more dairy-free products or a bigger selection for vegans or for organic food. And if we all do that, they're going to pay attention. They're going to listen because they want our business.
Now, and you mentioned several products in your book, so that if anyone isn't familiar with some of the better-selling products or the good, you know, the products that are really great tasting, you do give people a little bit of heads up of, as to what to look for, maybe what to ask for in the book.
Right, and you know what? That's just a guideline. If people are totally confused, they have no idea what to do, but don't get hung up on that list. If you walk into your grocery store, they don't have anything on that list, that's fine, because you've now learned what's healthy to eat, what's healthy, what's unhealthy to eat, and just read the ingredients and start figuring it out for yourself.
Right.
The lists are great for people who have no idea what to do, but it's not something to, these are the only foods you can eat. That's not why we put them there at all. There's plenty of other foods that we've never even heard of that we don't know about that may sell in your city that don't sell in ours. So pick up anything that interests you, read the ingredients, and see if it's something you would want to eat.
Well, it's not like you have like a skinny bitch, you know, qualified food, you know, where you can have your own seal on things. So, I mean, it really, you know, maybe that's in the future. Maybe you can have Skinny Bitch approved.
To make it easier for people, yeah, and it's definitely something that we're kicking around. We're just starting to build our business in a lot of different directions, so
exactly.
We need to sort of clone ourselves and get more help because we're a little overwhelmed, but we're just going to keep going and do the best we can to make it as easy as possible for people.
Well, and I don't think this is ever going to be outdated information. That's what's, you know, kudos to you, because this is something that's not going to go away. And I think the book has been very helpful in, like, navigating the stores. It's not like South Beach Diet has their slogan on everything, or, you know, it's just not easy to navigate when there are so many choices. So I think the book has been really helpful. And you offer some websites that probably also are very helpful for people that are wanting to get on board as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to just make it as easy as possible, and actually that's one of the reasons we decided to write a cookbook.
I was about to get to that.
Got our cookbook coming out in December. It's called Skinny Bitch in the Kit.
Uh-huh.
It's just tons of recipes that follow, you know, the stuff that we're promoting in the book. It's the same way of eating, but more recipes to help people eat well and to enjoy this lifestyle.
Exactly. Well, it's got to be. The book has not actually hit the shelves yet.
Nope, it doesn't come out, I think, till December 10th. Somewhere in mid-December.
Just in time.
Available for pre-order right now, I think, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can check our website, skinnybitch.net. It should be available for pre-order on that website.
So can you give us, like, an idea of what we'll be able to find in that cookbook, since it's not out yet, and obviously I can't...
Good things in there. There's just tons of great recipes. We've got, like, international dishes, like a pumpkin curry basmati rice dish. We've got cookies and cakes. We've got appetizers. We've got something that we call PMS snacks, pissy mood snacks. We've got grown-up appetizers, things that if you were trying to have, you know, a dinner party and you didn't want to act like white trash, you could serve some great foods that are classy and elegant. Down-home cooking, some great, you know, southern-inspired type foods like, you know, mashed potatoes and meatloaf and oven-fried or oven-baked, but it's kind of like fried chicken, but it's not really any of that. There's so many good things. Philly cheesesteaks that are made with soy protein. It's just tons of yummy stuff that we love.
It just makes the transition so much easier, and it's like a nice treat.
Exactly. Food, we love eating more than anything on the planet, Kim and me. And it's all we want to do is talk about food, eat, make food, eat, about food, eat. So anything food-related, you'll find us there.
Yeah, I mean, depriving yourself is definitely not the answer. It's not good for you. And I think that's what's great about it. You're not telling anyone not to eat. In fact, part of your book says, eat ton loads of this, and, you know, eat all that you can eat of this. And, I mean, you're not setting any kind of standard as to what is a portion or how much they should eat of something. You're just saying, eat whatever you want.
Yeah, and we do get a lot of emails from people who are so hung up on the portion control or the calorie counting. They'll ask, you don't talk about calories or portions in your book, so I want to know if I'm eating this. Oops, sorry, my call waiting is beeping. This much of that, what should I do? And we'll always respond, don't worry about the portions. Just follow your body and trust your instincts. And when you eat right, everything sorts itself out.
Now, I know you communicate a lot with the your readers. You're getting emails or you're getting letters. Can you share a couple of stories that really stick out in your mind from people that have commented to you about what this book has meant to them?
Oh, we've been so lucky. Our readers are the best, and they've just been so generous with their sharing their stories with us, and it just makes us feel so good. We've heard from people who have lost tremendous amounts of weight. We've heard from moms, more than one mom. I think it was two moms so far who have autistic children who started feeding them according to this lifestyle and have seen dramatic differences in their children's behavior. We've heard from girls who have struggled with eating disorders their whole lives and felt like this finally rang true for them, and it was something that really made sense to them, and they could follow this lifestyle and enjoy food and not obsess about their weight anymore, obsess about what they're eating because they just want to take care of themselves now. And we've also heard from men who really liked the book and who really got a lot out of it and who vowed to share their book with their personal trainers at the gym because there was so much stuff they learned in there that had contradicted what they were already being told. And we also got a snail mail letter from a woman who was in her 70s who really liked the book and thought it made a lot of sense and that it reminded her of the way she ate when she was younger and that she had lost sight of by being involved in just mainstream America consumerism. And mm-hmm. She said that she's sharing the book with her family now because she wants her grandchildren to eat the way she ate when she was younger.
God, that's amazing. Because I saw you on the Today Show once, and you even mentioned someone that lost like 80 pounds.
Yes. Somebody, I think it was 85 pounds.
Wow.
It's incredible. And you know, we really, truly had nothing but good intentions when we set out to write this book. And to hear from people that it's affecting their lives the way we imagined and hoped that it would is just so affirming. And it's just music to our ears, really.
Well, I'm sure it must make you feel fantastic to know that so many people are on board.
People who, you know, aren't set out to, they don't need to lose weight, and they just really want to change the way they're eating because they don't feel great all the time or they're tired. And hearing from them feels just as good as hearing from somebody who has a dramatic story to share, because they're feeling well for the first time in years, or they're just finding a new way to eat that just rings true for them that they can't imagine they never discovered on their own before. And it's just as exciting to hear from them as it is from a woman who lost 85 pounds, believe it or not.
Exactly. I mean, you see these people, I mean, I'm not trying to point fingers at what I'm noticing on television, though. People are eating, it's like the serving sizes get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just of this food that is so not good for you to begin with. And it just seems like it's just so full of things that aren't nutritious, that's why they're having to eat so much. Their bodies aren't feeling satisfied, obviously.
And just to give people an idea right off the bat, the more processed something is, the less you want to eat of it. You really want to just, again, I know I'm a broken record at this point, the whole foods are the best. So to give an example, energy bars I know are really popular now. So let's say there was an apple-flavored energy bar out there. You're much better off eating a fresh apple and a handful of nuts than eating the energy bar that's been processed with processed apple and processed nuts, because then you've got the enzymes intact and everything is just in its most pure state. So really want to eat the whole foods. That's what when we talk about whole foods, that's what we're talking about. Things that have been the least processed.
Now, what do you do when you're traveling? How do you choose? I mean, do you have to really give it a lot of forethought? you know, before you're traveling somewhere to know how you're going to eat when you get to this area or what you're going to do?
No, I mean, I'm a total foodie and I love eating more than anything. And when I travel, the first thing I do is go on this website, happycow.net. Mm-hmm. And happycow.net is a website that from all over the world, it includes restaurants and natural grocery stores that have vegetarian and vegan food. And they also talk about, you know, natural food stores and organic markets from all over the world. So that's the first thing I do when I find out what city I have to go to. I go on happycow.net, and I punch in that city, and I try and find, and I make a list of the restaurants or the grocery stores that I want to go to while I'm in that area.
So that's great. I mean, before you even get on the plane or you ever arrive, you already know where you're going to...
Yep, it's a really great site, and that's the one I recommend the most. But at the same time, there are often times where we wind up in cities that don't have anything, and happycow.net's got nothing on that city because it's just a tiny little town and there's nothing to eat there. But that's when I just remind myself, look, some days I'm going to eat just the way I want. I'm going to have these beautiful gourmet meals that have all the foods that I like to eat. And other days I'm going to just have fruit, and I'm going to have salads and maybe pasta with red sauce, and it's kind of boring and blah, but I don't have to eat perfectly every day. If I'm traveling and I can't eat the way I normally eat at home, we're not trying to set out to be perfect robots and aliens that eat perfectly every day. And there are some days that, we don't eat exactly the way we want, but that's okay because then there's always tomorrow and we're still living the lifestyle. We're just not obsessive about it.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing now is going green. As you know, everything around us now is talking about how we're going to save our environment, the climate control, and I think, you know, it sounds crazy. Well, it's really not crazy, but I really associate this book with going along with that lifestyle too. I mean, with changing the way we're living our lives as far as going green. I mean, don't you feel that this book supports that?
Absolutely, and there's nothing crazy about it. The United Nations released a 400-page study on global warming, and they found that the methane emissions from factory farming were higher than they are from the entire transportation industry.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So basically, the burps and farts of farm animals, as it sounds, contributing more to methane emissions than all the cars and airplanes and trucks combined. So it's such a hot topic right now, the environment. It's not going to go away because things are only getting worse. And one of the major ways that we can fix the damage that we're doing is to adapt plant-based diets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what my program has been about. It's about showcasing fascinating people that can make a real difference in the world we're living in, which is hence why you're here, because I feel like this book is making that difference. But I also had Gordon Michael Scallion on last week, who talks about our climate and what we're doing to the earth we're living in, because people forget that the earth is alive. It's a living thing, you know, and the way we're treating it. And I feel like if we're eating a better diet, and this is going to contribute tremendously to a better world that we're living in.
Right. I have to say, that's one of the most interesting side effects for me that's come out of this diet. I never cared about the environment. It never occurred to me to consider the earth. I would absolutely side myself against people who were, you know, quote-unquote hippies, and I just thought it was ridiculous to care, and that the world was such a big, vast place, I could use as much as I wanted, whatever I wanted, litter wherever I wanted, and it wouldn't matter. And now, because I'm more in touch with my food and what I put in my body, and it's just spread into this whole higher level of consciousness for everything. And now, you know, when I'm at the grocery store, I'm well aware if I'm buying, you know, a bag of apples that already come in the plastic bag, now I'm going to have this plastic bag. And eventually, I can use it as many times as I want, but eventually it's going to wind up in the trash and it's going to wind up in a landfill. So if I instead just buy the apples loose and I don't put them in a plastic bag, that's one less plastic bag in a landfill. And
exactly.
It sounds annoying and it sounds irritating and it sounds to some people like, oh, that's too much. Let's not get crazy.
No, I hate when I buy something the size of the palm of my hand and then they want to give me this huge bag to put it in. I'm like, can I just put it in my purse? I really don't need that bag.
And it's a great thing to think of, because when we're all doing, people think, well, what difference does it make? Or I'm not going to do it because nobody else is going to do it. But again, the power of one. One person can make a remarkable difference in this planet, and I just like to think of all the things on my own that I'm doing to make a difference without even trying to influence other people. But you know, think about when you do something like that, when you're with a friend and she sees that you're putting your apple in your purse instead of in a bag, and then she thinks, you know what, that's really great that you did that. I'm going to do that. And it's, you can really just send a ripple effect throughout the world.
Exactly.
Well, we don't have to feel hopeless about the state of things. We can feel like we can do something to make it better.
Well, contributing, absolutely. There's a lot of work to be done, and that's, you're one less person that they have to worry about, you know, getting clued in.
That's right. We got to make sure we keep the smallest footprint as possible while we're here.
Yes. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Rory, and I want to give you the opportunity to tell our audience where they can find your book and your website, and if you have any upcoming appearances that you'd like to promote or anything upcoming that the audience would be interested in. I'd love if you would share that with us, too.
Absolutely. Well, right now, Skinny Bitch is available in all major bookstores, and it's also available online, and you can get it from our website, skinnybitch.net, or from Amazon or barnesandnoble.com, all of those sites. And our cookbook, again, Skinny Bitch in the Kitch, is coming out in December 2007, and it's available for pre-order right now through our website, skinnybitch.net, and also I believe it's available through pre-order from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, etc. And we're also working on a How to Eat guide for pregnant women. It hasn't been handed in yet, so we're still just working away on it, but that probably won't come out until 2008, but something to keep us busy in the meantime. And
well, that's not far away.
It is far away. It's unfortunate how much time it takes to get books finished and edited and then printed and distributed and marketed and sold.
Exactly.
So it is kind of a lengthy process, and we've been really busy and inundated. So that's something we're excited to get finished, get off our plates, and get the ball rolling on that.
Exactly.
And we're also been, we're in meetings. We've been approached by multiple agents and producers and TV networks about the possibility of a TV show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We're just going to make sure we choose the right way the first time around so that we can go the distance. We know it's a big responsibility that we have in order to keep furthering the message. So we want to do it right and do it right once, and be able to stay around for a while and continue promoting the book.
And we would love to support you in any way we can. Do you have like a newsletter you put out or any kind of a mailing you do? Or
well, that would require more work.
So,
and we're barely surviving with the workload that we have right now.
That's true.
So eventually that's part of the plan. We're inundated, I'm not going to lie. We're inundated, and we do everything we can to respond to our reader emails. We're literally backed up right now about 600 emails.
Wow.
So if people have written to us, please just know that we're working on them, and we really do everything we can to get to them, but it does take time, and we'll do the best we can.
Well, I am flattered, and I'm thankful that you took the time out of your day to be here with us this evening, and I know a lot of people were telling me, gosh, I really hate that I'm going to miss that show tonight, and it's in the archive, so they're going to be able to hear it at their leisure anytime they like. And I know how busy you are. I could just imagine. So it's very much appreciated, and I know my audience appreciates you being with us this evening also.
Well, I am flattered and thankful that you had me, and I really appreciate what you're doing, and you're a beautiful example of one person can make a difference, and I hope that your listeners are inspired to follow in your steps and do what they can do also.
Well, thank you very much. My one difference, if I can touch one person, I know you're touching a lot more, but if I only touch one, I'm happy.
Well, it takes one, that's it.
Exactly. Well, Rory, thank you so much, and we're going to be keeping in touch with you, and I will definitely, any updates that I find on your website, I will make sure my audience knows about it, because I am definitely a believer in what you're doing, and again, I think that you're going to make a huge difference, and you already have with me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's it for Breaking Through with Georgianne this evening. My guest was Rory Friedman, and an amazing book. I have to inspire you to please purchase this book or borrow a copy. If you know someone that has it, you've got to read this book. It really made a difference for me. I'm telling you, I never weigh myself, and I decided to weigh myself before and after for the heck of it. I lost 5 pounds, and I can't even believe I lost 5 pounds as quickly, just making the changes I made. It'll make a difference for you, whether it's your health or whether you want to lose weight. It's just a good guideline for your life completely, any way you look at it. And I thank you again. Next week, Gabrielle will be on the show, and Danian Brinkley will be on November 6th, which, of course, we're looking forward to that. It's a two-week or a two-hour show, two-week show. He would love that. It's a two-hour show. Gabrielle, next week, we have a lot of things to talk about. She's an amazing spirit medium and author, and she's made some really great strides, and I can't wait to talk to her about that. So thank you, and come back next week. Good night.